All right. It's a little slow rolling out, but it's getting there. Excellent. So this morning, I want to start by saying this. And this is going to seem a little weird. It's preaching to you about this because you're already here. But this morning's message is all about being part of a church. Today, in the church, it seems that attendance is optional. Anyone else notice that? Attendance has gotten me more and more optional. Oh, just some of you noticed. Okay. And it seems like it's really easy to make excuses to not come. In fact, one author decided that they'd compare the excuses people give to not going to church to another arena, say a baseball game, and what it would look like if we used the same excuses at baseball that we do to not attend a baseball game. Oh, I gotta turn this on first. It's not you, don't panic. There we go. So here we are, baseball game. Said, I don't go to baseball games because whenever I go to a game, they ask for money. The other fans don't care about me. The seats are too hard. Good news, that's not a problem in this church, eh? I don't go to baseball games because coach never visits me. Oh, yeah, too much fun. The umpire makes calls I don't agree with. Some of the games go into overtime and make me late for dinner. The stadium plays songs I don't know. I have other things to do at game time. My parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. I love this. I know more than the coaches do anyway. I can be just as good a fan at the lake. And finally, I won't take my kids to games either. They must choose for themselves which teams to follow. So all these excuses, you can see how if we translated the excuses to not go to church, how it doesn't really sound really smart or intelligent when you put it in the context of, say, a baseball game. I got to say, you know, and this, I'm saying this honestly from my heart, I love the church. I do. I love the church. I love everything about the church in the sense that I love the idea of a group of people from various backgrounds, cultures, races, all coming together to form one family because of Jesus. It is a beautiful thing. It is a marvelous thing. There is no mystery to me why you're here this morning. And with all that said, though, I have found in my 21 years of being a pastor, I have seen many people leave the church. Someone said something. Someone did something. Some people have left because of decisions I have made. I've seen people leave the church over music wars, gender wars, sermon style wars. I've seen it all. I've seen people leave for all kinds of reasons. And you know, it's one thing for me if they go down to the church down the street, at least they're going and they're still involved in a church somewhere. What really gets me is when they leave church entirely. And I know that as a pastor, I'm supposed to develop thick skin and realize that, you know, people come and go and all that kind of thing. I'll tell you, I've never developed that thick skin. Every time someone leaves a church, and you know this, because you probably feel similar things. Every time someone leaves a church, I feel it. I take it personally. And in part, I take it personally because I feel like I failed them. I feel like I failed to show them how beautiful the church is and to give them so many reasons to engage fully. And when they leave, I think, oh, man, I blew it. And I know you can send me letters and say, Pastor, you shouldn't feel that way. I know. I know I shouldn't feel that way. I'm just saying I do feel that way. I'm trying to get over it, but I haven't developed this thick skin I'm supposed to yet. I have some statistics to show you about attendance. And attendance over the years, over the decades, has dropped. I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. These are largely U.S. stats, but and Canada's a little further advanced than the U.S., but this is how it looks generationally. Today, those born before 1946, 51% of them attend church on a regular basis. Those born between 1946 and 1964, 41% of them will attend church today. Those born between 65 and 76, 34%, and it keeps dropping as generations go on. Fewer and fewer people are going to a church service. 76% of people, or 75% of people, believe you can be a good Christian without ever going to church. According to America's research group of evangelical Christians between the ages of 20 and 29, 95% of them went to church in elementary school. 55% of them went to church during high school, and only 11% of them will attend during college. 20 years ago, people who claimed to be born again, and there's pretty specific criteria, I looked into this, about being born again. These are people who legitimately have repented of their sins and turned to Jesus. 20 years ago, 8% of people born again did not attend a church. Today, that is now 16% of people born again do not attend a church. I did a little reading about the reasons that young people give for leaving the church, and this was very, very interesting. They give the top six reasons why young people say they do not want to be part of a church. Now, I just want to take a break because some of you are getting a little depressed right now. So just relax, okay? There'll be hope in the end. Just trust me, all right? Some of you looked a little depressed. I'm just moving along here. Six main reasons young people give for leaving the church. Number one, churches seem restrictive and overprotective, citing things like Christians demonize everything outside the church. Specifically noting that their congregation was, quote, too concerned that movies, music, and video games are harmful. They found the church is fear-based and risk-averse. Number two, said Christianity as practice is too shallow. They said they found it boring. I won't take that personally. That was a joke. They said the Bible was not taught enough and that what was being taught was irrelevant to their lives. Number three, churches seem antagonistic to science. They claim that Christians are too confident they know all the answers, and they contend that churches are out of step with the scientific world we live in. A quarter of them claimed the church is anti-science, which to me is weird because I love science, and I love reading about science, but that's the impression that a lot of young people have. Number four, churches are judgmental and rigid about sexuality. Some of them said that they had made mistakes sexually, but they felt that coming back to the church was just a place of judgment for them. And many of them said it's not so much the standard they set, it's their expression of that standard that is the problem. Number five, the exclusivity of Christianity is a turnoff. The idea that Jesus is the only way. They said church is like a country club, but it's just for insiders. And number six, they said churches are unfriendly to those who doubt. In other words, you can't come here with your honest doubts. I just want you to know, church, come with your honest doubts. I'm okay with that. If you're experiencing doubts right now, you're in a good place. I'm glad you're here this morning. Because you know what? Between you and me, sometimes I have doubts too. No amens on that one. You okay with that? Good. There is an uphill battle for church attendance, and I get it. There's all kinds of reasons for you not to be here this morning. I'm kind of surprised every time you show up. I mean, think about all the reasons you have to not be here. First and foremost, Satan doesn't want you to be here. Now, I hate to get all old-fashioned and preachy on you, but there is a force of darkness out there that doesn't want you here on Sunday morning. He'll do anything he can to make sure you're not here. Society doesn't necessarily encourage you to be here. Our own, can I say it, laziness doesn't want us to be here. I know that doesn't affect any of you. Sometimes our own guilt or our shame, it's really easy to sign up for the Church of the Jammy Jam. Visitors not welcome. I thought that was funny. In the end, when I look at all the stats regarding church attendance, in the decades to come, the church in Canada is going to look very different than what we know it today, if the trends continue and fewer people attend churches. So I'm going to say something that's going to sound really odd. You might think it's an overstatement or an exaggeration, a real stretch. You might have thought your pastor's gone off the rails on a crazy train, but this is what I believe. And this is what I want us to remember this morning. You cannot live without the church. You cannot live without the church. And I'm hoping that by the end, you are going to see why I am so passionate about the church. And small groups are an expression of the church. They are an extension of the church. So when I say I'm passionate about the church, please don't interpret that as I'm passionate about 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'm passionate about the church. And I think, quite frankly, the church does its best work outside these walls. Amen? Amen. Good. All right. Now, you might not know this, but there is a tremendous commercial in the Bible for the church. I don't know if you knew this. I call it the church infomercial. It's found in Ephesians 4. It is fantastic. If you ever want to know, why should I be part of a church? What are the benefits to me? Ephesians 4 is the place to go, I think. We are talking in this series about living as the church, and this is where it all comes down. Because if we are living as the church, there are specific things that you will find in your life that make it worthwhile being part of the craziness that we call the Nanaimo Alliance Church. Pretty sober group this morning. Man, oh man. Okay. All right, here I go. So, how does this passage start off? It goes off this way. So, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. These are the functions of the leadership. These are the gifts that God has given to the church. And people can, by the way, I'm fully convinced, people can be in this function without the title. I believe that people can be teachers without actually being called a teacher. And people can be pastors without being called a pastor. And on and on and on and on. You don't need the title to do the function, necessarily. Now, that's my own bent. But anyway, and I wish I could talk about this, but I'm going to move along because that's not the main part of what I wanted to say this morning. It goes on to say, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church. The body of Christ. And I've mentioned this before in previous messages. This has historically not been followed. Historically, the church has said, we're going to pay people to do the ministry, and the rest of us will sit back and watch you do a good job, because that's why we're paying you. But that's not what leaders are for. Leaders are there to help people do the ministry, which is why we have our philosophy number two. A leader's primary job is equipping others for ministry. Now, that's the setup. Okay? Talks about leadership, what their job is to help everybody be fully engaged in the church. That's important to understand, or the rest of this is not going to make sense. So, as we continue, I want you to look for what are the results. If the church actually did this, and if everyone was fully engaged in the church, and not just observers, but actual participants, what would take place? And here's where the infomercial begins. This will continue, it says, until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, it mentions three specific results that will take place. The first is unity. There's a commitment to rowing together in the same direction. It's not fake. It's not pretending that everything's okay, you know, moving things under the carpet, but an actual unity where differences are embraced and we have the same purpose. And it says we will experience Jesus. You'll notice it says the knowledge of God's Son. The knowledge of God's Son, not the knowledge about God's Son. You understand the difference? Knowledge about God's Son is just things that go in our brain. Knowledge of God's Son is experience. You experience Christ. You hear His voice. You follow Him. That is knowledge of God's Son. See what it's saying? So, if we are fully engaged as a church, we will have unity, we will experience Jesus, and we will be mature. Well, what does mature mean? Well, it tells us. We'll become like Jesus, measuring up to the full and complete standard of who Jesus is. Now, if I stopped right there, and I said, if we are fully engaged, we will have unity, we will experience Jesus, and we will be mature, I'd say that's enough to pursue, wouldn't you? Isn't that a good enough infomercial? But the great thing is it's not done. There's more. Watch this. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. It's a funny thing about kids, eh? They have a very short attention span. You ever notice that? They just go zipping off from one idea to another. You know, it's really hard. Try keeping a child's attention for 10 minutes. It is not easy. All those people are in there right now doing God's work. That's hard work. God bless them. Send them your prayers right now. But same thing in churches. When we are not fully engaged, we are like children. And we have a short attention span. And the latest idea that comes along, we latch onto it. Ideas like, Jesus is just one way to God. Or all religions teach the same thing. Or a loving God would never allow anyone to go to hell. Or you don't need church to be a good Christian. Or the Bible is just one book among many. All kinds of these great ideas that are floating out there. And when we're not fully engaged as a church, we're more susceptible to those sorts of things. So we will have, when the church is functioning right, there's a resistance to false ideas. More than that, it continues on. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. In other words, we will have a resistance to false teachers. Some of us get really caught up in latest charismatic personalities. You know, some people are really good speakers. And you can watch them on TV and they're amazing. And they're teaching garbage sometimes. But they're flashy and they sound, what they're saying sounds so clever. It sounds like the truth. But when we are functioning well as a church and people are fully engaged, something begins to take place. It's the coolest thing. The Holy Spirit engages something in us called critical thinking. We begin to think better. Isn't that cool? We're not, you know, just moving around from all these different false teachers or false ideas, and finally we end up here. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. In other words, when we are fully engaged as a church, we will have honest relationships. Wouldn't that be nice in a church to have honest relationships? Some of you already experienced that, and that is fantastic. Some of you are part of small groups where you can be completely honest, or you have friends in the church where you can be completely honest with them. God bless you. Many of us in this room do not. It's the same in any church. But when we are fully engaged as a church, we will speak the truth in love. We'll be honest about our own failings, first and foremost, and then we can be honest about the failings we see in each other. In that order, by the way, in case you were wondering. Next, finally, here we end up at the end of the passage. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And in case you thought this whole being fully engaged was not the key, he repeats it again here. He says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. As each part does its work, which is why we get our philosophy number one is strong churches are built by God through the church. When we are fully engaged, there's a healthy interdependency. Let's go back to that verse for a second. I want you to see this for yourself. There's a healthy interdependency. It says the whole body is healthy and growing. In a church that's fully engaged, people won't be saying, oh, that person, oh, they've always been that way. They'll forget about it. They'll never change. Oh, no, in a healthy church, people grow. In a fully engaged church, people change. It's marvelous. Have you ever seen it? I hope so. I do hope so. And finally, a church is full of love. The one thing our world craves more than anything is love. It's programmed into our very core to be loved. And when the church is fully engaged, the church is where you find real love. Amen? So, in case you kind of lost track, here's the grocery list of all the things you get when you are fully engaged in the church. It goes like this. There is unity. You experience Jesus. There's maturity. There's a resistance to false ideas, a resistance to false teachers, honest relationships, healthy interdependency, growth, and love. How does that sound? Pretty good infomercial, don't you think? I mean, he's basically saying, if the church functions properly, and the leaders are helping people to do the ministry, that's what happens. All those things. It's marvelous. It's one of the reasons I have great hope for the church. I look at that and I go, that's a group that I'd want to be part of. Isn't that a group that you want to be part of? But, what if that's not happening? That the leaders are doing all the ministry and the people are merely sitting back and are absorbing rather than being fully engaged? Then I think it's safe to say that the opposite of all these things happens. The results of not being an active part of a church. Disunity. Seen any of that in churches lately? People creating camps. I'm right, they're wrong, drawing lines in the sand, everything's black and white, you're in or out, you're for me or against me. Seen any of that? I know I have. That's just a result of the church not functioning properly. Not experiencing Jesus, where Jesus becomes just a person in a storybook. You learn about him. You can learn all about his life, but not experience him. How many churches do we know? How many people do we know in churches just know Jesus up here, but have never experienced him? It's so sad. Immaturity. People don't become like Christ. They become like the people around them. There's a susceptibility to false ideas. We absorb new ideas without question. And there's no one around if we're not fully engaged. No one's around to caution us. We're susceptible to false teachers. We get suckered in by a slick message, like a good religious show. We have dishonest relationships. We're more interested in fitting in and not offending people. There's no honest thoughts or feelings. The real me is hidden in a church that's not functioning correctly. We'll be isolated. We feel that we don't need anyone, and no one needs us. And we're terribly, terribly alone. There'll be a regression. We find ourselves less able to handle life as time goes on. We fly off the handle more and more. We feel hopeless and stuck. And finally, there's an indifference. We just don't care. We just don't care about the world. We don't care about other people. We become more and more self-interested. Now, I just gave you the greatest infomercial for church. I told you what the Bible has to say about all the benefits of being fully engaged in the church. And here's the thing. Most Christians, I'm just guessing, don't believe that. They don't believe what the Bible actually says. We don't. You know one of the most critical times in the week for NAC? 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. It's that key time where we look at the clock and we go, if I'm really serious about going to a service today, I should probably put some pants on. And it's that key time where we either say, I'm going to put pants on or I'm not going to put pants on. I'm glad all of you decided anyway. I read recently that not that long ago, a regular attender in a church would be someone who would go to a service 3 or 4 times a month plus things during the week. Keep in mind, though, in the New Testament church, how often did they get together? Daily. That's right. So we went from daily to 3 or 4 times a month. Said now a regular attender is considered to be someone who shows up once every 4 to 6 weeks. That's a regular attender. Isn't that something? I want to show you something real interesting. I had no idea. They have actually done studies comparing people who go and are a regular part of a church and those who are not. Here are the health benefits, by the way, to being part of a church. They found that if you are part of a church, you have a 25% mortality reduction by being part of a church. You are less likely to be stressed and less likely to feel lonely. People are more likely to say they are happy, are making a positive difference in the world, they have deep connections with friends, and are fulfilling their calling in life. They have more positive and fewer negative emotions, according to Gallup, and a greater all-around well-being. So what can we do to gain the benefits of the church? That's a good picture, eh? And this includes, by the way, again, don't think I'm just talking about Sunday morning service. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about being involved in small groups and other ministries as well. Remember, that passage was about being fully engaged in the church. It never said anything about just attendance. Although the first point is make attendance your top priority. All else comes second. If you really want to gain the benefits of the church, all else comes second. That's hard, isn't it? It's not exactly the way most of us roll. All else comes in second. That includes sleeping in comes in second. Kids' sports, hobbies, fishing, racing, work, all other activities work around worship, not the other way around. I can tell I've got skeptics in the room. All other activities work around worship, not the other way around. If we really want to gain the benefits of church, attendance has to be top priority, not just Sunday morning, small groups as well, and other service opportunities has to be top priority. Now, remember I said, though, attendance is just the start, because that infomercial that we just read about said nothing about attendance. It talked about engagement. It talked about being fully involved, which brings us to number 2, contribute more than you receive. Contribute more than you receive. Do you remember what it said? As each part does its own special work. That's you. That's me. As each part does its special work. If we are not doing our own special work, all those benefits, that whole infomercial, falls apart. Worship is about what you offer, not what you receive. So if we want to gain the benefits of the church, we have to come prepared to serve, to give, to be fully engaged. And finally, number three, keep Christ-likeness your goal. There's all kinds of reasons to attend a church service or a small group. You could attend because you're looking for a spouse. It's not a bad thing. You might attend to feel better. You know, you're just kind of down and you're coming to feel better. You might be lonely. It might be a habit. All those things pale in comparison to the real reason we're supposed to be here, which is to become like Jesus. Ideally, you are going to leave this place more like Jesus than when you came in. Not because your pastor's awesome, but because you met with Jesus this morning. And his power came upon you and changed you on the inside. That's how you change. I told our small group leaders, we met a few days ago, I said one of the things that we can do to help our people grow is to delegate as much of the work of the ministry as possible to the people in the small group. Because if you've got a small group leader doing all the work and everyone else is just benefiting, inevitably what's going to happen is the people won't be engaged, they'll eventually lose interest, and the leader burns out. Both very bad things. But if you, as a leader, get people involved and everybody has a job to do and everybody's serving in some capacity that creates ownership in that group, the same thing happens in a church. Everybody needs to have ownership in the church. And you have the opportunity, by the way, when you sign up for a small group, I just want you to know, straight up, you are signing up for an opportunity to serve that small group. I said, you cannot live without the church. Now, what did I mean? Did I mean that you can't have a beating heart? That you can't have air in your lungs? Can't have a brainwave every now and then? No. But this is what Jesus said. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's a pretty powerful vision statement, is it not? And that's what Jesus is offering us. That's why the church is so important, because you cannot get to full life without the church. It's just the way God designed us. He designed us to be a community, to be a team, to be a family together. I believe that people leave the church not because they tried it and it failed them, but because it was never really tried. I'm going to say that again. I believe people leave the church not because they tried it and it failed them, but because it was never really tried. I tell you, I have met Christians, people claiming to be Christians, both inside and outside the church. I have yet to find a growing, joyful, healthy Christian outside of the church. I just haven't seen it. I'm just being honest with you. But the only people that I have found who love Jesus with all their heart and would give him their life are fully engaged in a church. And I find often, I don't know if I can be this honest, the people who complain the most are the people who are least engaged. The people who are most engaged complain the least because they know how hard it is to lead and to serve. Can you see now, with all the benefits of church life, why I am so passionate about it and why God insists upon it? I want you, church, to be unified. I want you to experience Jesus. Oh, do I want you to experience Jesus? If we could have anything this morning, Lord, please help these people experience you. I want you to be mature. I want you to be resistant to false ideas, resistant to false teachers. I want you to have honest relationships and healthy interdependency. And I want you to grow, and I want you to experience God's love. But that'll only happen if we are fully engaged. That we come and we are part of this church to contribute. That's what I want for you, church. You know, this whole series is about living as a church. This is a pretty important message. If we are not fully engaged, we are not living as the church. We are playing church. And we will be sick and weak, and we won't make a difference in Nanaimo. But if we are fully engaged, the gates of hell will not prevail against what God wants to do through this church. Marielle, I'm going to get you guys to come on up.